Politics these days seems to be about creating a narrative and sticking to it, no matter the reality.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer there getting a little creative with the facts. As we all adjust to the fact of alternative facts here in the present, there are other battles going on over facts in the past. And one of them is happening in Poland, where a museum is embroiled in a standoff with its own government over the correct version of history. The World's Nina Porzuki is just back from Poland. She's in the studio with me, and she recently visited this museum.
It's called the Museum of the Second World War in Gdańsk, Poland, and it has taken 8 years to build. It's nearly finished. And last month, the museum had this very rushed opening. Scholars from around the world scrambled to get to Gdańsk to see the museum because this exhibit might be closed before it even opens.
What's the big deal about the museum in the first place?
There's a lot of different kinds of World War II museums, Holocaust museums, military museums. This is a museum that's trying to tackle this entire war and look at it both from a Polish perspective, but also from a transnational perspective, how this war impacted the world.
And why would anybody want to shut it down?
When I contacted the Polish Ministry of Culture, I got a statement saying that they're unhappy with this museum because it's over budget, it's taken too long to build. But underneath everything, there is this debate about history. And the Minister of Culture has made public statements criticizing the way that history is being presented at the museum, that it doesn't conform to their, quote, historical policy.
Historyczne polityczne. What I love about the Polish phrase is you can translate it historical policy or the politics of history. Either way.
Barbara Kirschenblatt-Gimblett is a curator at the Poland Museum of the History of Polish Jews in Warsaw. And the way that she described historical policy and what the government dislikes is that this particular museum isn't, quote unquote, Polish enough. It's a little vague, I know.
It's vague, but it's also really loaded in this moment where identities are so contested.
And, you know, I walked around the exhibit with a lot of historians, and we're all just kind of scratching our heads trying to figure out, okay, what particular thing isn't quite Polish enough? Here's a clip from writer Konstanty Gibert.
I honestly cannot fathom their reasons. A government that wants to rule history is insane. Unless, of course, we're in 1984, right? We're not.
Poland is not Oceania, the totalitarian regime of 1984, by any means. But Poland is riding, you know, a wave of nationalism. After 8 years of a liberal government, in 2015, the right-wing Law and Justice Party was narrowly voted into power on a campaign promise of making Poland great again. And this idea of, quote, a strong Poland is really key. And one of their biggest obsessions is controlling this narrative, this strong Poland, through history.
Wow. Nina, I know you've been working on a story about your visit to the museum,
yes.
So let's listen.
Paweł Machcewicz is a man on the wrong side of history.
Okay, so is it okay? Do you hear me?
Hear you.
Well, what? Enough?
Museum of the Second World War was Paweł's dream. He's a slight man, balding, glasses, your typical history professor. So immersed in the past, he's got no time for the present, or breakfast for that matter.
I had some old bread, but I made toast. Yes, it was okay. And what did you have for breakfast?
8 years ago, he wrote an editorial for a Polish newspaper. He declared it high time for the country to build the comprehensive museum of World War II. To his surprise, the previous government gave him the green light. But from the get-go, the Law and Justice Party has publicly criticized his idea.
They criticized that this museum does not present the glorious sides of the war. They criticized that this is a pacifist museum, that we show the war as a great tragedy.
And the war, according to the Law and Justice Party, can, quote, shape characters and make people brave and industrious.
It's a little bit outrageous and offending to me because I am a Polish historian and I devoted most of my life to Polish history and I don't need any politician to teach me.
When Law and Justice came to power in 2015, they enacted a plan to get rid of Paweł as the museum's director by merging his museum with a new, more patriotic, yet-to-be-built museum.
In a way, I expected that it would be coming. In 1 month, I could be already ousted.
It's hard to understand why history matters so much in Poland without understanding the effect World War II had on this nation. As Americans, we think about the war and we think the greatest generation, beating down fascism, Tom Hanks heroics. But this was a very different war for Poland.
Poland, September 1939. The German foe begins its ruthless march of conquest.
The first shots of the war were fired here, where the museum was built, in Gdansk. And for 6 years, Poland was fought over on both fronts, occupied by Stalin and the Soviets in the east, and the Germans from the west. It was a bitter battle on Polish soil. No village untouched.
Poland's 34 million inhabitants, crushed, scattered, and enslaved.
More than 5 million Poles died during the war. 3 million of those Polish Jews. Think about that. 5 million people. One-fifth of the population. Many Polish families still live in the shadow of the war.
I remember the stories of my mother.
Pavel's mother was just 4 years old during the Warsaw Uprising. She remembers the day when German soldiers came to her house, took her family to a square, and began executing people.
So my mother saw people who were killed, you know, blood, people falling down.
These are the childhood memories of his mother.
This is not unique.
Many Polish families have similar stories. In fact, after the museum put out a call to Poles to donate their personal relics from the war, Pavel and his staff were inundated with objects.
Just in a few months, we got 3,000 or 4,000 objects.
Like a handwritten letter donated by Joanna Pinson. I met Joanna outside the exhibit. She was sitting quietly, watching all of the historians mill about.
You don't know, but I am very old. I am 95 now. Yeah, I was 17 when the war began.
Joanna was part of the Polish underground resistance. She was caught by the Germans shortly after the war began and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany for 4 years. She was able to send this letter to her parents to let them know she was still alive.
For me, it is not an exhibition. It is rather...
So for me, it's rather the memories. It's just like evoking my memories.
For Pavel, the truth of the war is in the memories of Joanna and his mother. One of the most evocative parts of the museum is a series of photos from Warsaw, color photographs of bombed-out buildings, rubble, wreckage, taken by an American architect in 1947. And there's something about the color that is so striking. So many of us picture this war in black and white, but here's Warsaw completely destroyed in color. And then suddenly you see people among this destruction. Everyday people dressed up in suits and skirts, walking on the streets, going about their day as if everything were normal. History changes as our understanding of it changes. Pavel Machcevich was witness to that.
When we started to work on the concept of the exhibition, it seemed that at the end it was an optimistic story, that we regained our freedom, that we became a part of Europe with democracy in place. And in these 8 years during which we worked on the exhibition, almost everything changed in the world, in Poland. We have got a war in Ukraine not far from our borders. We have Putin.
Putin is meddling in elections. There's a wave of terrorism around the world. NATO and the European Union are on unsure footing. And then there's Brexit.
You know, everything changes.
Underneath those photographs of Warsaw are a series of drawings made by Polish children in 1946, depicting their memories from the war. Stick figures with guns, growling dogs, blood, a crowd gathered for an execution.
The war can repeat. The violence is around us, is inside us, within us.
And just when you think, enough, sounds filter in from the final room, where a video montage is projected on the wall. The film is a series of historical clips from 1945 to the present, on a split screen. One side, the progression of the West, the other side, the East.
This is not a closed chapter.
Their trajectories converge in the present, on the bombed-out image of Aleppo, and a young man bicycling past the rubble on his way somewhere. The museum's future continues to be in limbo, but Pavel hopes to open to the public in March. For the world, I'm Nina Porzuki, Gdansk, Poland.